Lord, as we come as a congregation, as a family, Lord, we need to hear from your word this morning. Lord, it'll be challenging. It'll be maybe even convicting. It'll be something here to change us if you'll listen. Father, I pray that you might get me out of the way, that you might set me aside. The Holy Spirit will speak. Lord, if you would preach to me as you see fit, cleanse me. Lord, I know I'm a wretch. Lord, I know that. I know who I am this morning. And God, I'm asking you to cleanse me that I might be just exactly what you want me to be this morning. Father, I challenge Mark, Lord, not the congregation, but Lord, I challenge me to be obedient to your word this morning. God, I pray that you would teach me, show me, guide me, and then, oh God, if I could be used of you for your glory, then so be it. But please, God, don't let me serve self. I need your touch this morning, and I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're living in a day. We're living in a hard time. We're living in hard places right now. We're living in a cowardly day where men are cowards, where women are cowards. It's not something that is liked to be told, but that's what we've become. We become cowards when it comes to God and to the stand. We take and take, and it appears that nobody wants to stand and say enough is enough. That I'm not backing up no further, or that I'm not moving off of this, that I'm not gonna quit. We're not living in that day now where what used to be the generations of running to stand, now it's running from standing or just complete neglect and ignoring the need to stand. Because it might make me uncomfortable. That's where we're living today. We're living that day in society where we have allowed everything that's going on in society is our fault. You understand that. Everything that's being done is because we won't stop it. What's done in our county, what's done in our town, what's done in our state, what's done all in the United States, we won't stop it. We'll talk about it in circles, but we don't do nothing about it. And then as a majority, the churches, the reason that there is a sin problem is because sin is not preached on. It's not... no one is bothered by sin anymore because instead of being convicted over sin, you're offended if someone mentions your sin. And there's a problem there because nobody will stand and say, no, that you can't do that. You can't go there. You can't say that. You can't act like that. We have that in our home. It's no wonder that society is that way because we don't have no rules at home anymore. That you're not allowed to act like that. You're not allowed to back talk. You're not allowed to be disrespectful. You're not allowed to go to these places or say these things. You're just not allowed to do it, and you're not going to do it. And if the children rise up and say, "Well, Emma, then it used to be they got busted, and they didn't have their toys took away. They didn't have much toys, but they just got busted and sat in the corner." No, they didn't sit them in the corner. They busted them and said, "If you cry, I'll give you something to cry about." That's how it used to be, you straighten up. I mean, that was the way life was, and that was when we had the generation that stood. But when we stopped that, now we got generations that don't stand. Well, that's one thing for it to be in society, but it's that way in the church house. Because it used to be that the Bible was the same, that if I went to the Calvary Baptist Church, I didn't have to worry. which I don't now, Brother Ryan's ever, and I have no problem with the preachers that's been there, but what I'm saying is there wouldn't be no difference. If you couldn't make it here and you stopped there, you'd hear the same message. If you didn't, if you couldn't get this far coming north and you had to stop at Mount Lookout or Sunday Road, then you didn't have to worry about it. You was getting the same message. Or if you was coming down anyway, it didn't matter if you stopped at a Baptist church, because it was the same message out of the same Bible, and it was the same truth, and you didn't have to worry. But nowadays it's not like that. Now you got to be careful. You can't just even have anybody come and preach until you've sat and listened and several times, because they may be just as big a deceiver as you ever can imagine. It's because they got a Bible on their arm, don't mean they're of God, nor do they preach the truth. But then when you find it, well, you don't want to say nothing, because you know you can't be judgmental. No, you got to stand, and you got to stand on what's right. Somewhere we as Christians are going to have to stop being the way we are and be what they were in the Bible. That if we get thrown to the lions, then so be it. If they hang us up by our feet and take a cross-cut saw and cut us in half starting at our crotch and go all the way to our breastbone for the cause of Christ, then so be it. So be it. If they sharpen something that looks like a wooden horse and set you on it naked and make you straddle that and pull your feet down and tie pressure to where your inside just goes right down, if that's what it takes, then so be it. That's what they used to do for the cause of Christ. Not to get a ribbon or a trophy, but because He's worth it. Because Christ is worth it. But He's not worth it to everybody anymore. He's only a pastime. He's not a mainstay. Huh? He's not the main course. He's when we get time. When we feel under for somebody else, but the desire, it ought to be all of our desire to live for the Lord. It ought to be our desire. Well, if we do fail, then we fail. But hear me, it's not even everybody's desire anymore. I'm talking about the Christian. How many has heard even the song that they sung? How many are I know if you have? How many heard the song, "It Is My Desire"? You know, that's an old song. It's not a new song. The song they sung, "Whatever It Takes." Man, I've heard that song all my life. That's an old song. But we won't sing them no more because they're convicting. We've thrown the hymnals out of the churches because of the theology that's in the hymns. So we've got to change it to the feel good because we're burdened, and we got to have the feel good because I'm in a storm, and we got to have a feel good because I'm having a bad day. Well, that's life. But Christ is enough, and Christ is all. Huh? But that's why we've quit singing the songs, the old songs, and that's why we've quit taking the stand. Because of being a coward. Because of being a coward. Somewhere we're going to have to draw a line in the sand and say, we're going to go past it. No, we're going to pass it. It needs to be drawn deep to where nobody can feel it in their foot. Yeah. Huh? It needs to be drawn. You say, well, I don't think it ought to be that way. That's what the Bible says. Yeah. The Bible teaches it. Yeah. Before I give you a text, and the message is really short this morning, but listen. In Hebrews chapter 11, where we'll be, it says, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance. that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, and moreover of bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. Huh? They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. Huh? All these having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Can I tell you, we don't take the stand no more. We don't take the stand. Now it starts in our heart. The stand for God starts in our heart. I'm going to give you, if you will look over, I'm going to preach to you this morning just for a minute. I'm going to preach to you and to me and to anybody that will listen this morning. Three things that we need to do in 2024. Three things we need to do in 2024. All right? And where we find it all right here in Hebrews chapter 11. Let's look at verse 24. Three little verses. We got three verses and three things. Actually, it's three things and a how-to. All right? So there'll be four things. There's three things and a how-to. Everybody okay? Hebrews chapter 11. And we'll start at verse 24. It says, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. That's all we're going to read right there. That's all of our message is in three verses this morning. And I want you to listen very carefully as we try to tell you that there's three things that we need to do in 2024. Now this is what we need to do. This is what we need to do. And I can't make you do it. I can encourage you to do it. I can challenge you to do it. But I can't make you do it. But if it's not your desire to do these three things, then there is a problem in your heart.
Amen.
We may fail. What is? Remember what Marvin Smith preached to us, the first sermon he preached. When he came in the old sanctuary 2010, he said, if you're going to fail, fail forward.
Yeah.
You remember that?
Yeah.
If you're going to fail, fail forward. Don't fail going backwards. Fail forward.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Everybody understand that?
Yeah.
If you're going to fail, fail going the right way.
Yeah.
Don't fail going the wrong way. Right? Everybody understand it? So let's look. Let's start with this morning in verse 24. It says by faith. We'll just start with that and give you the how-to before we give you the three things we ought to do. The only way that we're going to stand right, do right, live right, be right, pray right, talk right, walk right, have the power of God right, stand on the Word of God right, preach right, teach right, sing right, the only way that we're ever going to do that is by faith.
Amen.
It's not something you can conjure up. It's not some strength that's passed to you by your parents. It's not something that you go to the gym and work out to become. It's not some knowledge or some degree or some class. It's going to have to be by faith in God. And we got to start in our heart that our faith in God is bigger than any other thing in our life. That we believe God, that we trust God, that we love God, and that will calls us to walk with God and want what God has. It's a heart thing. It's got to be by faith. It's not a mind thing. It's not mind over matter. It's not how strong you are mentally. It's not how strong you are spiritually. It's whether or not you believe God or not. You're going to have faith in God. If we fall apart when life turns sour, then our faith's not in God. It don't matter. Are you hearing me? It shouldn't matter what happens. Because it's faith in God that's necessary. Now, people, well, you don't know. I don't know what you go through. I don't know how you feel. I don't know how heavy the burden is. I don't know how broken your heart is. I don't know how messed up your mind is. But I know how big a God I got. I know how big a God that this Bible says we got. And I know it to be true because He said it was true. And He tells me that He's enough. And it's by faith. It's by faith. And then it says it's by faith Moses. It's not by faith as a group, but it's by faith individually. You've got to have your own. If you read in verse 23, it says by faith Moses' parents. Verse 23 talks about the faith of Moses' parents. How he was hid. That wasn't Moses' faith. That was Abraham and Jacob's faith. Okay? They had theirs. Everybody follow me? But that wasn't Moses' faith. That was Mom and Dad's faith. I can't go on Boyd and Mickey's faith. They're gone. Huh? Boyd and Mickey's secrets are gone. They're with Jesus. Bill and Frida's secrets are gone. They're with Jesus. Huh? Ray and Florence Burris are gone. They're with Jesus. Are you listening to me? I've got to have my own. It says by faith Moses. Not by Amram and Jochebed's faith Moses did something. No, by faith Moses. Do you have faith in God this morning? There's no need to even go any further. Huh? If you don't have faith in God yourself, huh? You've got to have faith in God. You've got to. If you have faith in God, then there's some things that's going to come to you that you're going to have to decide. If you have true faith in God. Many have faith in the church. Many have faith in people. Many have faith in religion. Many have faith in the activity. But do we have faith in God? When your bank account's zero, and they're coming and repossessing everything you got, and the doctors are shaking their head and says you're not going to make it, and your babies ain't going to make it, and your spouse ain't going to make it, can you still say, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away, blessed be the name of the Lord? You say, well, Mark, you've not been there. Now, let me tell you, I've not been in all them places, but I have been where Daddy was taken. I have been where Mama was taken. I have been there where they come and tell me that your son ain't going to make it. I have been looking in the checkbook and there wasn't no money. I've went through the couch and the chairs trying to find enough money to go buy a loaf of bread for me and Cheryl and the boys. You say, well, I never had it. Well, sorry, I did. I've done work weeks at a time, and when it come payday, that the man said, I'm sorry, there ain't no money for your check, and you're just going to have to just suck it up. I said, okay, well, how do I fight for it? Well, you ain't going to fight for it. We're shutting down, and there's no money. What do you do? What do you do? Well, you should have said, well, I wasn't making but $3.35 an hour. Not back in the 50s. I'm talking about in the 80s, middle 80s. Huh? We okay? What I have to learn to do, I had to learn to trust the Lord. By faith. But it started as a young boy being by faith in salvation. If He's able to save me. If He's able to save me. Huh? And I placed my faith in Him to save my soul because I was a guilty sinner. Huh? Then nothing else should be hard. Huh? Went to the doctors. Took their medicine. Been hooked up to their machines. Been flew out. And I've done had them shake their heads. I've done had the doctors walk out and say, he won't make it. I've done been there. I've done been down that road. Huh? I walk pretty good for a man that ain't supposed to walk. Huh? Got pretty good injury for a man supposed to have been buried a time or two. Huh? Huh? Not because of me, man. Ain't too many people can fall 26 feet and walk back in the house. Huh? Ain't too many people can fall 10, whatever, how many feet it was. My feet was at 10 feet, so I don't know if you count it 10 feet or 15 feet because I'm 5 foot tall. But when I wake up, that I knew I couldn't move a muscle. I was in intense pain, but I knew all my medicines. I told them all my medicines, told them all my milligrams, told them how many times to take them, told them my address. I told them what I needed from them. I couldn't move. They done shook me. They done brought back Brother Rick sitting and watched it, huh? That ain't me. I'm just telling you, somewhere you just got to go ahead and hold on to God and let God take things. And it starts with salvation. But listen, He done more than save me. He's been there every day since. And He's helped me every day since. And He's helped me through sickness. He's helped me through sorrow. He's helped me through bad times. He's helped me when I've been poor. He's helped me when I've had more than I've ever needed. He's helped me in every way. He's helped me with my family. He's helped me in answered prayer. Yes, there's been life that's been come and people have had to leave here and go to glory. Yes, it's broken my heart. Yes, I've watched people leave the church and it's broken my heart. Yes, yes. But it ain't affected Him. He's the same God. He's a big God. And He's bigger than all my problems. He's bigger than anything I'll go through. Hey, there's troubles I have now. There's burdens I carry now with me and Cheryl. I don't know what tomorrow holds. I don't know what I'll have this time next year. But can I tell you this? I've got Him, and that's all that's necessary. And I know that He's enough. And somewhere, Christians are going to have to start living by faith instead of their own strength and their own whims and their comfortable life and go ahead and trust God.
Amen.
Huh? Think about it. By faith. By faith what? By faith Moses. Personal faith. The Bible says, Romans 10:17 says, now faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Can I tell you why you don't have faith? Can I tell you why your faith is weak? Your faith is weak because you're not in the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Your faith is weak because of where the Word of God is in priority in your life. I didn't say that. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. You're not going to have no faith if you don't use the Bible that God gives you.
Amen.
Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And if you can't read it, then you ought to be the first one to come in the door so Brother Rick and me can read it to you.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
Huh? And if that ain't enough, call us. And we'll come and sit on your couch, your chair, and bring our own coffee and read it to you at home if you can't read it. But your faith will never be strong if you don't have the Word of God. The world's going to suck you in, and your problems are going to suck you in. And the cares of this life is going to suck you in. But it won't if the Word of God is strong in your heart. Why? Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I'm going to say something. I hope I ain't out of line. Kim Childers told me this. And I hope I'm not out of line. If I am, I'm sorry. All right? But we were just talking generally one day. And she was talking about when David got killed. This will be 20 years ago this June. And Kim said, this is what Brother Rick done. We come home and everything was settling down a little bit from the news. Kim said, I asked Rick, what do I do? What do we do, Rick? What do we do? And I'm not building brick up. I'm going to tell you this was the answer. He said, well, we're going to go to bed. Try to get some sleep. The David had just got killed. He said, and in the morning, we're going to pray and read our Bible and trust the Lord. Are you listening to what I said? Huh? Well, they've got their failures. They've got their faults. But they've stuck in here pretty good for 20 years. Huh? Because they didn't go to pieces. They went to bed and tried to sleep if they could and got up the next morning and prayed and read their Bible. Because faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And the Word of God is all we have. Less than everything else is going to change in this life. Society is going to hell and everybody will turn their back on you. But this blessed old book won't turn its back on you. It won't change. Ain't not been one word has ever changed. It'll be your best friend. It'll be what you need day in and day out. When it's early in the morning or late at night, and your faith will be strong, but you're going to have this Bible. By faith, Moses. Hey, faith coming by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Paul told the church in the churches in Galatia, he said, where I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. But the life I now live, I live what? By the faith, not of Paul, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, it says. For that, His word, by that faith, are you hearing me? Because it's Christ the Word. It's Christ the living Word. It's the Word of God. Are you hearing me this morning? By faith, Moses. By faith, Moses. What did he do? The first thing he done, he refused. There's going to have to be some refusing. It's time that me and you start refusing some things. He said he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He refused to be called a child of the world anymore. I'm coming out of it.
That's
what the Bible says. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Huh?
Yeah.
Everybody listen to me? Huh? He said, I'm not going to be associated with these evil, idolatrous Egyptians no more. Huh? Well, that means I'm giving up my paycheck. If it means you walking with God and you don't have two nickels to rub together, then you be poor and walk with God. If your job takes you away from God, God didn't give you the job.
Amen.
If your job takes you away from the house of God and the Word of God and time with God, then the job you have did not come from God.
Amen.
It comes from the enemy who wants to destroy you.
Amen.
And it's time you refuse.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Think about it. Pharaoh's a type of Satan. Egypt's always a type of sin. Egypt's always a type of disobedience. Huh? Does she show you how it turns on you? When Joseph had Jacob and the family to come to Egypt, they didn't live in town.
Right.
Now, am I right on this? I believe they lived in the land of Goshen. They couldn't stay in town because God's people couldn't stay in town. Huh? We okay? And where once they were guests and welcomed, didn't last but just for a little bit. And they turned on them. The world may welcome you, and your worldly friends may welcome you, and your worldly lifestyle may welcome you a little bit, and you say, see, it's okay, I'm comfortable, and see, ain't they hurt me? But they'll turn on you and stick you in the back and slit your throat and steal your kids and rape your women and molest your boys and take your money, and you'll be standing there without nothing.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Huh? Are you hearing me?
Good preaching.
And we're going to have to refuse. Refuse. You got enough backbone to say no.
Yeah.
No, I ain't doing it. We allow our kids to do it.
No.
We allow our kids to tell us no. If my boys ever told me no, they'd be having somebody else's teeth in their mouth. Because I'd have knocked theirs out. They don't stand up in my face and tell me no. Huh? But we'll do a holy God like that. We'll say yes to the devil and tell a holy God no all day long. Huh? You hearing me? He refused to be called a son of Pharaoh's daughter. He refused to be run by Pharaoh, a type of Satan. He refused to be run by the crowd, of the sinful crowd of Egypt. Huh? And he wasn't a kid. He was 40 years old. For he was 40 years in Egypt, and 40 years on the backside of the desert, and 40 years headed toward the promised land. Huh? Are you hearing me? He was 120 years old when he died. His eyes was as sharp as it was when he was a young man. His strength had never abated, not one time. But God took him out of the way. Are we okay? You hearing me? I'm just giving you a Bible this morning. All right? But he refused. I'm not going to be a part of that no more. I'm not going to be a part of the idol worship. You know what? Egypt, you know why there was 10 plagues on Egypt? Because of the 10 gods that they worshipped. That every judgment that come on Egypt before the Passover, it was because of the gods that they served. How many gods do we serve in America? Oh my soul. We serve gods. They're everywhere. We pay homage to them. Huh? We wear their clothing. We advertise for their organization. We put the stickers on our cars. We put the flags, not the American flag, but we put the other flags on our homes. We put the flags on the windows certain times of the year. We pay homage to them. We save money and spend money. The weather matters not. Come hail, come rain, come snow, come hot. Huh? We'll move the beer cans and the beer cups, wipe off the spilt beer, and stand in bad weather to pay homage to our gods.
Idols.
But if the weather's bad, we're afraid to drive to church. The roads might get slick, so I don't want to take a chance. It might rain and run my $60 hairdo. It might rain and get my good hunting cap wet. It might rain and get my washed car spotty. Huh?
Come on.
Preacher preaches too long, but we pray that the game will be exciting and we'll go in overtime. We'll stand in line at an amusement park to get on a ride and ride it for 10 minutes and get off where we got on. Don't go nowhere. Pay $150 to do it. And get in line and do it again. And if you think you might be too crowded at church, you don't even come. Somewhere we're going to have to say, I refuse. Huh? But you ain't going to do it unless you got faith. Because you ain't got strength built yourself. You ain't got the aptitude. You ain't got the backbone. Huh? Yeah, I'm just going to tell you, without the Lord, you just got a yellow streak up your back. Huh? Without the Lord, you're just a stinking coward. Huh? With the Lord, then, well, I was going to tell you, all my life growing up, my daddy was with me. I didn't care what happened. I knew my daddy was going to protect me. Mm-hmm. I never did have to run behind him and say, "Daddy, save me." Never did. He was already out front making sure it was already took care of. He was making sure it was a nice, peaceful place for me and Mama and the rest of us kids. He was already out in front. Well, is not my Heavenly Father better than that? He's already out front taking care of me. Huh? Think about that. Are we still okay? I'm trying to hurry. I really thought I had a short message. I really did. I'm not just telling you that. I thought, I said, everybody's going to be so happy. Huh? You know what Egypt was good for? You know what they was good for? Just killing babies. No big deal. But they didn't do it in the womb. They done it after they're 2-year-old.
Yeah.
Huh? How come we don't go ahead and just say, "No, we ain't doing that no more"?
Amen.
Huh?
Yeah.
And then when it comes to ballot time, we'll make sure we vote to do it. Because we don't like to be offended with a name on Twitter.
Come on.
That's just the way it is, like it or not.
Yeah. Yeah.
If I vote for a thief and he steals my money, they know me, no need me crying about it.
Right.
Yeah. If I vote for somebody that's gonna give money to kill the babies, then they know me whining when the babies come up dead.
Yeah.
I just go ahead and tell you that's the way it is.
Yeah.
But you ain't gonna do it without faith because our tradition and our family heritage. Well, can I tell you something about my family? You know, there's 20 preachers or so in my family. Do y'all know that? All the way back here, that's a bunch of preachers. But can I tell you, there's more than that drunkards?
Yeah.
We okay with that? In fact, every preacher was a drunkard first. In my family, they didn't just drink, they were drunks. From Friday night till Monday morning, they didn't know up from down. Huh? So, what tradition do you think I'm better off going with? Church or liquor? I think I'll just go ahead and stick around the Lord's house. That's a better tradition than what moonshine and homebrew and. See, my people didn't have no money. They couldn't even buy moonshine, so they just made homebrew. Huh? Y'all know I cook. I can make homebrew, too. Just so you'll know if you ever want some. Maybe I'll get a little short on money. Huh? I might not be able to preach here, but I can preach other places and sell it.
Yeah.
Sell it off end gate. In the church parking lot.
Absolutely.
Huh? The owner of the tractor bar talked to me here a couple years ago and said, "Preacher, we are in the same business trying to help people." I said, "No, we got the same customers, but we are not in the same business." Huh? Are you hearing me? I'm talking about there's three things we need. The only way to have them is by faith. All right? First thing we need is refuse. You know what refuse means? I wrote it down here. It says to deny a request, to deny a demand, or an invitation or a command, to decline to do or grant what is solicited, or claimed, or commanded, to decline to accept what is offered. Huh? To refuse an office, to refuse an offer, to decline to accept, to not to comply. It's time we as Christians stand up and say, "I ain't doing it.
Right.
I'm not going that route." Huh? We still okay? Now, Second thing, it says in verse 25, choosing. Choosing. By faith, Moses. The only way you're going to do anything is by faith. First thing is refused. Second thing is choosing. What is, well, the word choose, just so you'll know, choose means to pick out, to select, to take by the way of preference from two or more things offered, to make choice of, to take in preference, to prefer, to choose for imitation. I thought that was nice. To follow. What did he do? He chose. What did he choose? He chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. He refused. I'm not going that route. No, no, no. I'm not identified with the world anymore. Hey, we have revival if we just go ahead and quit identifying with the world.
Amen.
Huh? And it says he chose. What he chose? He chose to go with God's people.
Yeah.
Huh? He chose to go with God's people. It makes a difference. It makes a difference. He took a stand in his life. Huh? He took a stand. He chose it for imitation. To follow. Well, who's going to follow? Well, the Lord must have touched his heart some way. Huh? Because faith of mom and dad and the prayers of mom and dad had kept him safe for 40 years. And then when that Egyptian come up there and he wrung his neck, I bet them old Jewish people, you know, they you know, they was over here singing, stomping them, making them bricks, you know.
Yeah.
He's over singing. He's over whipping them. They were singing. Huh? Wonder what they singing. They had to be singing praise to the Lord. Huh? They out there in that sun, in that mud, and all that straw making bricks. Huh? They sing and worship. Huh? They sang and worship. You say, well, did they do that? Well, of course, they had altars. They worshiped. It wasn't nothing new to them. Right? We okay? Is everybody still with me? No, they done all that. And I wonder if Pharaoh, or if Moses ever said to, well, who y'all talking about? Oh, the God of our fathers. The God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob.
Mm-hmm.
Well, tell me about, well, we'll tell you about one. We'll tell you about old Abraham. He went up there on the hill and was going to sacrifice. I wonder if Moses ever told about that. Huh? I mean, I don't know that he wasn't. I'm not supposing. I'm just wondering. Y'all ever just wonder?
Yeah.
I'm just wondering.
Right.
Something touched his heart.
Yeah.
That he said, wait a minute, whoa, I'm not doing this.
Yeah.
Well, we know that no man comes to God except the Spirit draw him.
Yeah.
That's what the Bible says.
Yes,
so the Holy Ghost of God has had to come to him and speak to him. And Moses said, whoa, we're not going down this path. No, no, I'm going to make a choice. Now, if you can picture a man in armor, sword, more money than he could spend in 100 lifetimes, saying, here's what we do. We're going to lay all this aside, and I'm going to go in here and just suffer affliction with my people. Yeah, I think that's what I'll do. I think that's what I'll do. Huh? We still okay? See, what he done, he made a choice. Huh? Can I tell you, I'll go ahead and tell you this before, I don't want to lose this. You wonder how much influence Amram and Jochebed had on him. Amram and Jochebed risked their life to see that their son was saved.
Right. Yeah. That's right. Yes.
They're not right.
Yeah.
If they had been caught with that boy after he had done got that oath, they'd have killed Amram, Jochebed, and Moses too.
Yes.
Huh? But they didn't care because their son was important. See, if nothing else this morning, our children ought to be enough important to live by faith and to refuse some things and to choose what's right. Huh? Marcus and Philip are old enough. Philip, I believe, right now is in the care of the Lord. For as far as I'm concerned, he's just about like a child, innocent right now. Can he do wrong? Well, he's still got his mind. Huh? You understand? It may not be all in order, but it's all in there. But he had a born-again experience. We still okay?
Yeah.
I can't do much with Marcus and Philip other than to make sure that I don't mess up and discourage you. Boy, I've got a lot of responsibility with Landon and Hannah. And I've got a lot of responsibility with Levi and Micah. Let me see if I can get them all right here. Levi and Micah and Lainey and Wesley and Olivia. Boy, I've got a lot to be able to teach them. I remember when Levi was born, we got down yonder. He had some issues, and we didn't get to go. He was when he first got born, because we weren't going to get to see him, wasn't allowed. So we had to wait a couple of weeks, and we got down there, and Kelly came home from the hospital, and there I got to hold Levi, and I looked at him, and I said, oh, my first grandbaby. I said, you're a sinner.
Yes.
And, oh, Jesus died for you. And I told him the gospel, holding him in my arm. And you say, well, he wouldn't understand. Yeah, but I had to start right then. I couldn't wait till he got 10 years old or 15 years. No, I started the very first time that I held him in my arm and I give him, I told God, oh God, save him, convict him of his sins. Can I tell you that little boy is going on a mission trip this summer? He just turned 13. Don't tell me that God won't honor some things.
Yes.
We okay? But we're going to have to choose, though. We're going to have to choose. We're going to have to choose against sin. We're going to have to choose what's right and imitate it. Imitate what's right. I've got the example. I've got the example. Oh, I'm a preacher. Oh, my example ought to be Peter. Huh? Peter preached and 3,000 would say, that's a good example, right? But how about Stephen? He preached and nobody got saved.
Right.
He got killed.
Right.
Huh?
Yeah.
I don't care which example it be. Are everybody still okay? Huh? Can I give you one more? All right. Ain't no need to break tradition now. I've been preaching at 12:30 anyway. Everybody just hold on. Hold on. What, can you figure out what the next one is? Verse 26. See, we're saying in verse 24, he refused. We're going to have to refuse. Verse 25, he chose. Can I go ahead and tell you that if you don't choose faith, you'll choose failure. And if you don't choose faith, your children will choose failure.
Yes. You're
right. See, I believe that I will be judged at the judgment seat of Christ. And I've been a daddy longer than I've been a preacher. I've been preaching the 25th of this month, or of last month. I've been in this thing 39 years. That's a long time. Well, I may quit preaching today, but I won't quit being a daddy. And I won't quit being a pawpaw.
That's right.
I think there's going to be a lot of things discussed at the judgment seat between me and him and about me being a daddy.
Yeah, that's right for you.
And I've been a husband longer than all of it. I've been a husband almost 43 years come September. And I just wonder how much discussion we're going to have about how good of a husband I've been. Choices.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Then it says, verse 26, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. Man, that's counting it pretty high up. Huh? For he had respect until the recompense of the reward. Can I tell you that esteeming, it means valuing or estimating or valuing highly or prizing or thinking high of, huh? To set a value on, to estimate, to value, to prize, to set a high value on, to regard with reference, huh? That I refuse? No, I'm not going that way no more. I'm done. I'm going to stand. And I'm choosing. If it means suffering with the children of God, then so be it. Bring it on. Because I know He's able. But I'm going to esteem it. I'm going to value it more than the treasures of Egypt. Heavenly sunlight, that's a lot of treasures. Huh? And Moses said, no, it's worth more than all the silver and gold and ivory and cedar that they have in Egypt. It's worth more being a Christian. What's it worth to you today? What is it worth to you today just to be a Christian? Huh? Is it worth more? Would you give up? Huh? Would you give up? Would you call the government and say, stop my check? Huh? Would you call the bank and say, come and get my house? Huh? Would you call the car lot and say, come and get my car? Huh? Would you call, what's that place of prayer, the Goodwill, say, come and get my clothes? Huh? Would you call the neighbors and say, come and take everything out of my refrigerator, everything out of my cellar, everything out of my freezer, because me being a Christian is worth more than all of it.
Mm.
Huh? Makes you think, though. That's just what Moses said. That's just what he said. He esteemed reproach. That ain't gonna get too bad. It ain't gonna get too bad because I've got the Lord, and that's enough. Sure, I'll go to piano. If you come back tonight, I'm going to preach verse 27. But you're going to have to come back tonight to hear it. But there's three things that we need to do. We need to refuse, we need to choose, and we need to esteem and say, I'm drawing a line right here. I'm going to ask you this flat out the way I preach. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? It's over to you today. You're going to choose today. What are you going to do? I'm done preaching. What are you going to do? Stand, Clark, whatever you want to. I'm done. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? You're just going to stand there?